And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he, bringing you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Thank you all for joining us. So glad to have you here on American Family Radio. This is The Awakening. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, and it's another great day. This is the day the Lord has made. We're glad. We rejoice in it. I don't care what these crazies are doing out there, you know. Don't let them steal your joy. You know, there's an old song that goes, "This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away." I like that song because it's true. There's a joy that we have that's so deep on the inside that all of the craziness, all of the accusations, all of the slander, the lies, the opprobrium thrown at our country, all of the vilifying of our values and our historic monuments, all of this stuff, none of it, you know, these things don't move me. They really don't. Now, don't get me wrong. I make clear my opposition, and I am always willing to stand up, to step up, to speak up. But I'm not going to let these people get me depressed and down and upset. Look, here's the thing with regard to the country. But aren't you concerned about the country? Of course I am. But I believe this with every fiber of my being. America is a providential nation. I don't believe that we are a matter of political happenstance or the luck of the draw or any of that. I really believe that God ordained the United States of America. I believe that he put it in the hearts of our founding fathers, who, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so many other characters that we see in the Bible itself, all of whom, except for one, Jesus Christ himself, all of whom were flawed human beings, that God used to do extraordinary things. Well, the same is true of our founding fathers. And all of this stuff about the attempting to delegitimize our country because the founding fathers owned slaves and we mistreated the Indians. And look, history is ugly, folks, because if you really think about it, the history of mankind is the history of sin, isn't it? It reflects the history of sin just as much as it reflects the history of righteousness. You do find righteousness, thank God, but you find plenty of sin as well. And if we're going to disqualify everybody who's gone before us because every single one of them was flawed and every single one of them committed sins, well, then there's no one to admire. There's no history to celebrate because they were all flawed people. I mean, on that basis, you can't even celebrate the characters in the Bible, the prophets, the apostles. You can't celebrate them because they were also flawed people. So I just don't buy into any of that. I believe that America was ordained by Almighty God, and the same God who gave us this nation is not going to allow a bunch of Marxists and socialists and communists and America haters and racially obsessed demagogues like Colin Kaepernick and Al Sharpton and a host of others I could name, Black Lives Matter. They are not going to destroy this country. They're simply not going to do it. I've always said, if God was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah, which were degenerate places. I mean, they were degenerate places. I mean, think about how degenerate they were. That if you read that the text about how a large group of men of all ages gathered together around Lot's house to try to rape the two men, they were actually angels, that he had visiting with him. A large group of men gathered around them to engage in forced homosexual acts against these angelic beings. They didn't know they were angels. They just knew they were men. And that's how degenerate these places were. And yet God said, if you can find me 10 righteous people, I'll spare the cities. I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Just find me 10. Now, if God was willing to do that for places that the scripture does not indicate he in any way ordained or was in any way responsible for establishing, I have got to believe that with the millions across this country, including all of you who are listening to me now, or most of you who are listening to me now, overwhelmingly the majority of you, probably 99% of those of you who are listening to me now, we've got some people who are monitoring who aren't, they're not believers, and they don't have the same level of affection and love and admiration for our country that many of us do. But aside from them, all of you listening to me now, form millions across this country who are praying and crying out to God and saying, Lord, have mercy on our beloved nation. Lord, turn our hearts toward you. Exalt this nation in righteousness. Help us to get beyond the sin and the degradation that is being promoted to our culture, to our children, in our schools and our colleges and universities and in our entertainment and even in our sports now and in our corporate world now. Help us to get beyond that. I believe the same God who gave us two great awakenings in this country will give us a third. That third may well be the final. I don't know, because I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I'm expecting a third great awakening in this nation that will revolutionize this nation. And instead of the regression that people call progressivism is really regressing. It's regressing to one's animal nature. That's all progressivism is. It's a joke. Progressive. It's not progressive at all. It's regressive. It's regressing to your animal nature. Do whatever you want to do to whomever you want to do it. What we really need is revival and awakening. And that will give us real progress. And so as you all can see, I am just full of hope. And all of these crazies running around denouncing our country and denouncing us, denouncing Christianity, they don't move me a bit. They don't move me a bit. In fact, I feel sorry for them because they're doomed to lose. And my only hope for them and prayer for them is that they will ultimately wake up and realize that there's only one way that leads to true salvation, not only for an individual, but for a nation, and that's through Jesus Christ. But beyond that, I'm not the least bit worried about these empty-headed folks. I mean, well, maybe I'm giving them too much credit to say empty-headed. Their heads are filled with, you know, it's like Ronald Reagan said. In fact, I think my wife was playing a tape of him saying this not too long ago, and I heard it. We both chuckled. Ronald Reagan said, it's not that liberals don't know anything. It's just that they know so much that is wrong. So, yeah, their heads are filled with junk, but it's junk. It's not truth. It's falsehood. It's stuff that they've just made up or somebody's made up and they've glommed onto it because, of course, their thinking is skewed. The God of this world has blinded their eyes lest they should see the glory of the gospel of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They can't see it. They're blinded by the devil. So, but we see. Because God has given us sight, okay? Not because we worked our way into it or we're deserving of it or we're just such good people that know. By the grace and the mercy of God, we are what we are. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Antifa is a group that is supposed to be anti-fascist, but actually shows the very characteristics of some fascist groups, as well as anarchist groups. As a recent editorial in the Washington Examiner explained, Russians used a similar tactic many years ago. The Soviets coined the term anti-fascism as a way to distinguish themselves from Bolshevism. That way, they could gain the approval of many credulous Western democracies. It conveyed the idea that Stalinism was not opposed to the needs and values of the people in free societies. It gave cover to the communist ideals, especially when it was offered as a false choice to Nazism. Both then and now, it provides a powerful propaganda value. Implicit in the idea is that if you don't sympathize with an anti-fascist, then you must be a fascist. And when they take to the streets to fight racism, greed, or corruption, you must be on their side. But the riots over the last few weeks have shown Americans the dark side of this group. The totalitarian mask is slipping. You know, President Trump has been criticized for defining Antifa as a domestic terrorist group, but I ask you to tell me what you would call a group that uses violence to intimidate others in order to advance its political cause. If you don't like the term terrorist, then perhaps the term violent activist group might be your choice. But either way, the designation of Antifa as a terrorist group, frankly, is more rhetoric than precise definition. Antifa is a loose affiliation of activists willing to wear black hoods or masks in order to use shared tactics and targets. Police and local governments have been unable to quell the violence Antifa has brought to a protest or riot. That's why President Trump and the federal government felt that it had to step in. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Brian Fisher here. Attorney General Bill Barr agrees that Black Lives Matter and says that includes victims of crime. The Democrat platform may include asylum for every migrant in the world. Shepard Smith finds a home where he belongs. Hate crimes are so rare they have to be invented. Here's another example. And the Atlanta Braves keep their name. Next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And you know, while there are many areas where you look and you say, oh, man, that situation is almost beyond the pale. I mean, it's almost hopeless. We're winning. Because God can't lose. So we had a Supreme Court case come down and we were all very disappointed with Gorsuch that he basically expanded the definition of sex to include every crazy gender identity idea that the left has come up with, which I think is now somewhere around 118. I forget how many genders they've got. The number keeps growing and changing. I cannot wrap my mind around 118 genders because there aren't. There's only two, male and female. But here again, you know, when people become their own god, they just... they concoct things that are just, they are completely disconnected from reality. Let's put it that way. Completely disconnected from reality. I mean, you know, you've got a gender that is actually no gender. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. There's a gender that is no gender. That's neither male nor female nor any other gender. That's one of the 118, I guess. But I just want to mention, thank God, we're winning. We're winning. These little Sometimes hidden gems should remind us, you know, God is not done with this country yet. And so the Supreme Court, in one of its, shall we say, more illuminating moments, finally gave some relief to the Little Sisters of the Poor. Now, you know, the Little Sisters of the Poor, you remember the case. I mean, that was the case where the Little Sisters of the Poor is a Catholic group, and they did not want to provide contraceptives to the employees working in their ministry, and they did not want to provide the abortifacient pills and in any way participate in things that are against the teaching of the Catholic Church. Now, this is not a debate about whether one agrees with the teaching of the Catholic Church in every instance. It's about their liberty, their right under the First Amendment to practice their religion. Now, if you recall, Barack Obama, when he was trying to pass the Affordable Care Act, which came to be called Obamacare, and that ought to be enough to give everybody the willies. I mean, can you imagine Barack Obama being responsible for your medical care? That ought to be enough to make anybody say, whoa, slow down, wait a minute. Because, you know, look, folks, it was always my view that President Barack Obama was an empty suit. The one saving grace for the things that he was trying to do to, in my view, completely, and he said it, to fundamentally transform the country, had one saving grace. And you know what that was from my perspective? Now, this is my opinion. People can agree, they can disagree. But my view was, having observed him, watched him, listened to him, was that the only thing that mattered ultimately was himself. That's right. That, and here again, you may find this harsh, but I'm here to give you my opinion. I don't believe that the first and most important thing was his wife or his family, and it certainly wasn't his country. I don't think it was even his ideology. I think the most important thing to Barack Obama was Barack Obama. And I think that remains true. And therefore, that was a moderating factor in his life, because the bottom line analysis for him was always, what does this do for me? And if it helped his ideological movement and it didn't hurt him, no problem. But I think anything that he thought potentially hurt him in whatever way he might perceive that, he was going to slow down on. So now, do you remember that he announced during the first campaign that he was against gay marriage because he's a Christian and the Bible defines marriage as a union between one man and one woman? Folks, he was lying through his teeth. He didn't a bit more believe than anybody believes that the moon is made of green cheese. He didn't believe that. And I told people that when he said, I said, he doesn't believe that. Well, how could you know? Because everything in his record told you he didn't believe that, but he said it. He said it because that's what he thought was good for him at the moment. And then when he thought the time was right and he thought he could get away with it, oh, I'm struggling with it. I'm wrestling with the issue. Well, he wasn't wrestling with anything. He had his mind made up years before. Well, remember, when he was trying to pass the Affordable Care Act, he also said, this is not going to, we are not going to include abortion in this. He assured some of the few pro-life Democrats that were left, like Casey in Pennsylvania, he assured them that this was not going to include abortion because they styled themselves as pro-life Democrats. They didn't want to be involved in a health care plan that provided abortions for people or that supported the abortion industry. Abortion will not be included in our health care plan. It will not be included. And then as soon as they got it passed, what did they do? They sued Little Sisters of the Poor to force them to provide, among other abortifacient pills. So once again, he lied. He said what he thought he needed to say when he thought he needed to say it in order to further his will, his program, what he wanted to do. It just wasn't good for him at that point, to be honest about it. So therefore, the idea of him being in control of our health care, I mean, to me, is that's a joke. That is a joke. I'm trying to think of a good analogy. I can't think of one at the moment other than to maybe put your health care in the hands of well, you know what? I better stop there because the analogies I could think of to use wouldn't be nice. But you let's put it this way. If you knew that somebody was guilty of multiple cases of malpractice, is that the person you want to go to for surgery? Probably not. I think that's an analogy I think I can get away with. That's about where I would come down. But thank God the Supreme Court has recognized that little sisters of the poor have a First Amendment right to govern their own affairs according to their religious convictions. And there was another case in which they dealt with an employment situation where they had to fire someone, and there was this question about, you know, whether they could do that, because we know what this is getting at. What this is ultimately getting at is, can a church, can a religious institution ultimately fire someone for being transgender and say, well, you know, you come out of the closet, we don't believe in homosexuality, we believe it's sin, you can't be in a leadership role, you can't be on a staff role in our church. We know that's where the left is going. They're going to ultimately attacking churches. And the Supreme Court, while they didn't go far enough, at least initially, have defended the right of churches to make these decisions without the potential to be sued for violation of civil rights. Because if you don't do that, and I don't know where this is going to go, because Gorsuch wasn't really strong on it. He said, well, that's, and you know, those issues will come to later. Something to that effect. Yeah, okay, I shudder to think what that means, given this decision, given his opinion in the last case, the Bostock case. But nevertheless, for now, the First Amendment rights remain first. The left wants to rewrite it so that our First Amendment rights are second, third, fourth, 10th, 20th, 60th, 100th, or millionth, way behind homosexuality, transgenderism, non-binary, LGBTQ, whatever it is. Because after all, you know the construct, right? Your religion is nothing but an excuse for you to discriminate. Like Christianity was invented as an excuse to discriminate. Like Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us an excuse to discriminate. I mean, it's preposterous, folks. But nevertheless, the Supreme Court decisions are good news. They're good news. So we are winning. We are winning. Now, we're not winning every situation. We're not winning every case, but we're winning. And I really believe that ultimately we're going to win the whole kit, bang, and caboodle. I really do. I believe we're going to win the whole thing, that America is going to predominate as a nation of Judeo-Christian values, and all of this Marxist, moral relativist, everything goes nonsense that we're being sold and that's being pushed and promoted by entertainment and sports and corporate entities and cultural entities. All of that is going to be cast on the dung heap of human history. And the American people are going to acknowledge that we are a people of Judeo-Christian values, that we were founded that way, we remain that way. And anybody who doesn't want to be that way is simply not going to find their way into the mainstream of our culture. I believe that's where we're headed. May not seem that way right now. And that may even sound a little bit pie in the sky or overly optimistic. But here again, the God who gave us this nation, I believe, is going to help us keep it. I'm going to take your calls when we come back. The number is 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Back more than 100 years ago, a father gave his son sufficient money with which to attend college until he earned his diploma. The father told his son that this was all the money he was to have, said that if the son spent it wisely, it would be more than enough for him to graduate from college. The young boy took the money and went off to school. At the end of the first year, he returned home and told his father that he'd spent all the money and needed more in order to return to school. To the young man's surprise, his father refused to give him another penny. He told him that he'd already given him plenty of money to go to college on, and that there would be not another penny forthcoming. Stunned, the boy found that all the props had been removed from beneath him. While living it up in his freshman year, he never thought that his father would refuse to give him more money. His father had it, and he was going to have a good time on it. But now the money source was gone. He had to sink or swim totally on his own merits. There are many who would criticize the father for his action. In today's modern society, there are those who would claim that the father's action would destroy the boy's personality and that he should continue to support the boy no matter what he did. Other folks would defend the boy's right to more money on educational grounds, that the boy had a right to seek his own education as he saw fit. I guess for a large number of folks today, the father's action was totally wrong. They send their kids off to school and continue to supply the funds no matter what Junior does or what grades he makes. They blame the teachers if Junior flunks the course and blame the establishment if he gets caught breaking the rules. "Junior isn't wrong," they cry, "but the rules are." The rules should be changed to protect Junior. Divinely implanted in each person is a desire to be a responsible person. We're made that way. Sometimes it's necessary to face the worst, even a cross, in order to bring out the best. Somehow I have an idea that the young boy's father took a signal from a higher power. For our Creator tells us there are certain laws that we're to live by, and if we break them, then we must be prepared to pay the penalty. Often, as we have to pay the penalty, we become responsible citizens in his world. Well, the young boy went back to school without any money, worked his way through, graduated at the head of the class, studied law, was elected governor of the state of New York, and became the Secretary of State during the Civil War. He was later responsible for the purchase of some land, which many dubbed Seward's Folly. Today, the folly is known as Alaska. The young boy's name was William Seward. His father's discipline saved him from a possible life of wastefulness. You know, maybe discipline isn't so bad after all.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, of course, there's plenty that we've got to be prepared to fight about. I'm sure you all heard about this. Some Army personnel sent out this thing about inclusion. You know, it amazes me. The Army actually has a program called U.S. Army Equity and Inclusion Agency. Now, anytime you see the words equity and inclusion, folks, they ought to be nice words that mean nice things, right? But they're not. They're politically charged words that really are intended to convey far left ideological perspectives. That's what those words mean. I would never use those words. Why the Army's picked up on those words? Who's responsible for that? That needs to be cleaned up. So here again, if they can take over our military, they'll do that. If they can take over our churches, they'll do that. If they can take over any institution, they will do that. So look, we're winning some of these battles. We've got to keep fighting to make sure that we ultimately win them all. And I'm confident that we will. So that was one of the things I just wanted to mention to you. The other thing and then I'll come to your calls. 888-589-8840. This is really ironic. It's almost funny. Did you all hear that Colin Kaepernick has just signed a big deal with Walt Disney, with Disney World, with Walt Disney Company? Yeah. Now wait a minute. The guy who says America is white supremacist, the guy who says I will not celebrate July 4th, that white supremacy holiday, a guy who says he hates America because of its oppression of his people and this, that, and the other. You know, he's got a long list of reasons. But do you notice something? He is grabbing up that American money with both hands, isn't he? You know, the hypocrisy is almost laughable. Yes, America is despicable. America is terrible. I cannot stand America. Is the check in the mail? I mean, you know, look, he's willing to take all of this American money in this American economy based on American capitalism and free enterprise and our constitutional system of government that gives people the right to freedom and acknowledges that people have a right to freedom and private property and to chart the course of your own life. He is using all of these wonderful principles and ideals that are allowing him to make money hand over fist while condemning the country, but he is grabbing it just as soon as he can get his hot little hands on it. I mean, really? So this country that you hate is making you rich. I mean, so that's the hypocrisy. His hypocrisy, as many in the left, knows no bounds. But here's the other thing. What is wrong with Disney and what is wrong with the corporate world that you would sign a contract with somebody who just condemned Independence Day as an illegitimate holiday? And by the way, for the record, the founding fathers did not establish Independence Day as they didn't establish it as a holiday anyway. But when they signed the Declaration of Independence, they were not signing a document of white supremacy. They were signing a document of independence from Great Britain. That's it. That's all. And anything else that anybody tries to put on that, they're just lying and propagandizing and demagoguing the issue. And that includes Colin Kaepernick or any of these other idiots who are running around saying, I am not going to celebrate July 4th anymore. I'm going to celebrate Juneteenth. Well, then you ought to move to Texas. Because Juneteenth was a Texas holiday. I mean, it was a Texas thing. It wasn't an American thing. As I've said before, you want to celebrate something that is all-encompassing. In fact, I just read an article in USA Today. Maybe they're listening to the program. I said, then celebrate the passage of the 13th Amendment, which was ratified on December 6, 1865. That's when slavery legally, officially ended. As a practical matter, it really ended with the Civil War. And I know there were still people who were enslaved, but I mean, it was ultimately over at that point. It's just a matter of working itself out. But as of the passage of the 13th Amendment, it was legally and finally over. Why not that? Oh, no, we can't. No, that, because that doesn't pander to all of the people having tantrums in the street. Okay, 888-589-8840. Any of the topics I've raised or anything you want to raise is fine. 888-589-8840. Let's go to the lines. Let's go to one of my fellow Virginians, Shirley in Virginia. Shirley, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Bishop. I have two things that are on my mind. One is, I know that in Acts 17:26, it says we are all of one blood. So it doesn't matter what color you are. From way back when God created, he created one man, one woman. So therefore, the blood that we have is all originated from way back there. And I don't understand these people that I have a lot of good black friends. I have a lot of good people from Korea that I love. And, you know, it's a shame that these people think that we all think like they do. And the other thing, Bishop, was would you know if President Trump has issued any kind of order to stop the desecration of our beautiful statues that were put up in memory of different leaders?
Well, I know he has threatened to put the National Guard to task of protecting, and has, in fact, he has deployed them to protect some of these monuments. I don't think that he's issued any kind of sweeping executive order against it, but he's made clear that he is simply not going to put up with it, and God bless him for it, because this has just gotten to be utterly ridiculous. And Shirley, you are absolutely right, but a lot of people have not gotten the revelation. A friend of mine, General Jerry Boykin, I was just with out in Colorado last week, he talked about the fact that he's been wounded in combat twice, and talked about the fact that he's seen many men wounded, many killed. He said, I've seen people of all kinds of backgrounds in combat, he said, but they all bleed the same red blood. So, Shirley, you are absolutely right. Thank you so much for the call, Shirley. We appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop Jackson. First-time caller. I love your show. Thank you for everything you're doing to stir people up to pray, especially your event you talked about yesterday. It just made me think of this Bible study I'm leading about the word peace. As I've been studying that word, I came across a video talking about the ancient Hebrew of what peace is, and it's made up of four word pictures. And it's so when you put those four word pictures together, what peace is it's the destroying the authority that establishes chaos. And I had never thought of peace that way before. It just gave me a renewed urgency to pray, because as we do that, we are destroying the in the spiritual realm, the principalities and powers that are trying to create chaos in our culture. And just all the things you're talking about today, to me, it's just chaos. And so when we pray is we are destroying the authority that establishes chaos.
Amen, Mark. You are so right. God is the God of decency and order. He established order, and Satan is the demon of chaos and disorder and destruction. And so, yeah, you are absolutely right. And chaos breeds deterioration and degeneration and decomposition, and that's exactly what the devil is doing, trying to do to our country right now. So, yeah, peace, Mark, and peace to all of you. I've also heard that shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. You could add to that, nothing being destroyed, no chaos, order instead. So God bless you, Mark. Well, look, which is coming up on Tuesday, we are hosting, and right now I think we've got 22 states, Stand in Prayer for America. We're praying for our Constitution. We're praying against socialism and communism. We'd love to have you all join with us. Email me if you'd like to find a location, or you'd like to establish your own location for such prayer at ewj@standamerica.us. Back in a moment.
Friendships is offering an amazing opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God. Learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you've been looking for? Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session starts August 10th. Mission Outreach, the Middle East.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, and I want to encourage you to join us this weekend. We're going to be continuing our Encountering Jesus series. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus as he ministered one-on-one to individuals. And this week, it's the woman at the well. We're going to see the power of Christ's forgiveness, his reconciliation, how he invites us to worship in spirit and in truth. You can listen on this station or connect with us at foiradio.org.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determined that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
You know, it's interesting that that whole fairy tale view of marriage has so infiltrated our Western culture for sure.
Bob Paul on Focus on the Family Minute.
And the idea when you get married is you're hoping that, you know, it starts once upon a time. And certainly the love that I have right now for my spouse has to be leading toward and they all lived happily ever after. And happiness isn't a bad thing. I mean, frankly, I'm kind of partial to happy, and I prefer more than less. I'm convinced God wants us to be happy. But when you think that happiness is the key, that happiness is the goal, you are so set up, because obviously God put us here on purpose with purpose, and there's a cosmic battle that's going on between good and evil. And happiness can't be the primary goal. There's a purpose bigger than happy.
Hear more from Bob at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. And, okay, let's see if we're ready here, because we may be having a little bit of a technical problem. But let me just see. Let's go to Tom in Texas. Tom, welcome.
Tom, thank you, and thank you for your, yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Thank you for your program. You're extraordinarily well-informed, and I'm going to plug into your website and try and continue that. I really appreciate your optimism about America. However, and I agree with you, in the short term, Christ is going to return, where Christians will be raptured, and peace will finally prevail on earth. But
yes.
In the short term, I'm afraid, I'm pretty well informed, not as well informed on the details. I just retired, so I've got more time on my hands. But in the short term, you know, in my opinion, we've lost America already. I mean, all this virus thing, which is a distraction from the real problem, which is the economy. We're facing a depression. You can't shut down the world economy and not expect major ramifications that result. And that doesn't just come from me. That comes from Mark Scalsham, PhD, George Washington University, I mean, and others like Dave Rosenberg. So, you know, America thinks they're in bad shape right now. Is what I'm saying is get prepared for much more difficult times. We have air conditioning here in the South, which is a blessing in itself. We have almost everything. I mean, we've got this virus thing that's supposed to be a big deal.
As a country,
but we've got plenty of food. We've got everything. But I'm saying that difficult times are coming. And of all people, Christians need to be informed. But in my opinion, not only are they not, in general, very well informed, but they really don't even want to talk about it. Which to me is just,
well, listen, we talk about it here, Tom, and I will tell you this. Look, I don't have any doubt at all that our country may face some worse things than we're facing now before things get better. And when I say I'm optimistic, of course, I'm talking about the ultimate outcome, because the question really before us is, will America remain a land of freedom and opportunity and hope, or are we going to transform into something else or collapse as a great nation, as happens in history when they say nations get to be about 300 years old, they ultimately face a collapse of empire and end of their time of greatness. And so the question for me is that going to happen to America? And are we going to end up being some sort of socialist or Marxist or communist or totalitarian state as people continue to beat the drum of hatred and anger and bitterness in America's not legitimate. It was built on the backs of slaves, and we did this to the Indians and all. I mean, is that going to happen? And my answer to that is no, it's not going to happen. Not because of our inherent greatness, but because of the grace of Almighty God. So that's what I'm hanging my optimism on, that the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without revocation. And I really believe God gave us America, and he is not going to take it away, not because there aren't people here doing things that wouldn't deserve his judgment, but because there are people here doing things that honor his grace and his mercy, like us, for example. So that's, I just want to be clear. I'm not hanging my hopes on, you know, just, oh, our system is so resilient. I believe we got through a civil war, through the civil rights movement, through the depression and other cataclysmic events in our country. I mean, my goodness, I was just listening to something about the War of 1812. They burned Washington pretty much to the ground, you know, destroyed the White House. They had to rebuild the thing all over again. But we weathered every storm. And I think it's because of Almighty God that we've been able to do it. Thanks for the call, Tom. We really appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go to Billy in Mississippi. Billy, welcome.
Hey. I'm here.
Yeah, okay, Billy, I can hear you. Yes, yes, sir, okay. You're on.
What I want to say is, you know, they're talking about all the riots and the protesting, and nobody is complaining about all the people getting together and everybody staying out of church. Well, it's in the name COVID. Think about it. It's acronym, Church Only Viral Infectious Disease.
Wait a minute, say it again.
Church. Only viral infectious disease. They're stopping people from going to church, but they don't stop them from rioting and looting and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they'll stop them. That's just a silly acronym I came up with.
Yeah.
Viral infectious disease.
Yeah. Well, so. Look, we know, Billy, where the left is coming from. They hate church. They hate it because it's in their way. It's propounding a worldview that they cannot stand. I mean, if the church is really the church, it's literally like for people from the left, the godless, secularist, atheist left, it's like scratching your fingernails on glass. that's how it affects them. It enrages them. They cannot stand it. But you're right. The church has got to be the church and stand up to these authorities that are treating the church like there is no First Amendment and treating these wild-eyed leftist protesters as if there's some special dispensation for them to destroy and to loot and to burn and to kill. And somehow that's all got to be justified. But, oh, the First Amendment, oh, well, we, you know, that's that. As to, in fact, you all heard de Blasio say this, right? He said the protests are different because, and I'm quoting him now, because the protests are meaningful. And we're still fully understanding the meaning. And he was comparing the protest to going to church. So basically saying, well, church has no meaning. that has no meaning. But the protests have meaning. I mean, that tells you where these folks are coming from. It's wicked. But thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Billy. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call and for all the other stuff you do.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to ask you, with all that's going on in the country today, do you think it would be a good idea to get as many people as possible to go online and watch the animated movie of George Orwell's Animal Farm.
You know, that's a very interesting question because I've heard about Animal Farm, but believe it or not, I've never watched it myself. What do you think people would get out of it? Because you're talking to a lot of people right now. So what do you think they'd get out of that?
Well, I would hope they would get out of it that if you do have a revolution, the people that you put in place will be no better, at least, than the ones you threw out.
Yeah. In fact, Mike, in every case where there is some kind of Marxist, socialist, leftist revolution, they are always far, far worse than the people that they've thrown out. I've said the only revolution in the history of mankind, the only revolution that I'm aware of that actually left people better off than they were before the revolution is the American Revolution. That's the one exception in history, because it was truly about liberty, not about power. And other revolutions, these communist and socialist revolutions, are about power. So, but Animal Farm, okay, Mike. You know, you've piqued my interest now. I think I need to finish my education by watching Animal Farm. So, thanks for the call. Let's go to is that Madeline in Texas, or is it Madeline? Madeline or Matt?
Madeline.
Yes. Madeline, welcome, Madeline.
Thank you. I really appreciate your positivity and optimism. We sure need hope these days. I'm a biracial woman, Christian, married to a white man for 28 years, two beautiful kids. And I'm telling you, I'm really so, so sad about what's going on. And I'm a super positive person, but it's really gotten me down. So I really appreciated your words of encouragement. I want to share something. I've been listening to a book called A Language of Healing for a Polarized Nation. And I'm thinking as a mom, you know, what can I do? What can I do? And one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to start an online book club around this book and encourage people to do face-to-face if possible, wherever they are. And then my son's a filmmaker, so I thought, you know what, maybe we can take the stories that come out of it, of people reading the book and having those conversations, and then have out of it come out a documentary so that people can see there is power in people talking to one another. Because I'm looking at groups online that says, hey, you know what, come in here, you need to read our agenda for, this is Christian groups, for 3 months and be quiet, and then you can speak and say something after you've been, you know, properly educated.
And Madeline, I'm almost out of time, but the book is called A Language of Healing for a Polarized Nation. Is that it?
Correct.
Ah, okay. Well, listen, Madeline, as you get along in the process, call us again and report on how you're doing. Look, I think you're right. People do need to talk to each other. I think the sad thing is, since this is a spiritual battle, in many cases, the people who are completely sold out to a leftist worldview, now I know that's not everybody, but the people who are, they've got on spiritual blinders, and facts don't matter to them. Truth doesn't matter to them. Logic doesn't matter to them. The only thing that matters is the furtherance of their agenda. Those are the kinds of folks that it's very, very hard to have a conversation with. I know, I've tried. They usually degenerate into name calling, and slander and hatred and vitriol of the worst sort. So, but I'm glad, Madeline, that you are taking some action to try to bring some healing where you are. So God bless you for that, because folks, here again, July 14th, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, I'll turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We do need healing, and God is the one who can bring it. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.